Okay, it's 6 p.m. on Monday, August 28th of 2017. We'll call the Village of Alloway Plan Commission meeting to order, and we'll start with roll call. Nyberg?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here.
Dart?
Here.
Bernowski is here. Rob?
Here.
Kowalczyk Adrians?
Here.
Nor?
Here.
Move on to item number two, I'm sorry. Modify or adopt the existing agenda. There's been a request by the Zimbaldi petitioner that number 7 and 8 move in after number 5, public appearances, due to a scheduling conflict with their architect. I don't see a reason why we can't afford them the opportunity to go first, unless anybody has any comments otherwise. If not, I'll entertain a motion to modify the existing agenda, moving items number 7 and 8 to after item number 5.
Motion to modify agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Trevor, you got that down. So 7 and 8 will get the points. Item number 3, minutes from August 14th, 2017. Did anybody have any comments or revisions to the minutes from August 14th? I guess of the three of us that were here.
I'll move to approve the minutes on August 14th.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, minutes carry. Item number 4, announcements. Are there any announcements from any plan commissioners or from Trevor or Brett?
Nothing new? No.
I have an announcement. Just to give an update, I've talked about in the past, and you've maybe seen some information about the Phragmites treatments that have gone on in the village by the Bay Lake Regional Planning Commission. We will be getting that started up again probably just after Labor Day. So we'll be managing the invasive Phragmites along the east shore or the East River shoreline, on both public and private property, mainly focused on that area of the East River. Our last year's treatments kind of expanded out a bit more from the East River. I think we had, I want to say, a half-mile buffer, but we're pulling that in a little bit more with the focus being mostly along the East River on both public and private properties. But I believe there was some information that went out from Alloway, but otherwise you can catch me afterwards if you have any additional questions, but I have some contact information and we have a hotline set up so you can get more information about where the contractor is going to be treating during that time period. But it runs from about the right after Labor Day till first part of October.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Okay, we'll move on to item number 5, public appearances. If you have a general comment to make, I certainly can step up to the microphone, state your name and address, and make those comments, or we will open up the session once we get to the agenda items if there's a specific item you'd like to discuss. But if not, you're more than welcome to come up.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the bike ped committee. I had a continuing concern that there's something very dangerous in the village with regards to a planned development district that was approved and is currently under construction. The Old Chapel Hill planned development district was rezoned from commercial to residential, and now I've been told a year ago that there are no plans to put in a sidewalk there. I've discovered that the Arboretum Trail has been canceled, that maybe possibly at some point in the distant future a wide sidewalk will go in, but there are no plans from the Public Works Department to put in a sidewalk. There are no plans by the developer to put in a sidewalk. A sidewalk in all PDDs is required. Pedestrian accommodations is required. And you now have a dangerous situation, which is no different than what Menards just learned in their lawsuit, that you have to make developments safe for pedestrians. There is no sidewalk planned by the village. There is no sidewalk planned by the developer. There's going to be 48 apartments. There will likely be kids who will need to walk to school. There's no sidewalk there for them. I see people walking in the street right now. I just saw a person with a one of the electric wheelchair scooters on the road. There's no sidewalks there, so it's very dangerous, and we as a village have a duty to make accommodations for those pedestrians. That's the law, and we dropped the ball on that. We circumvented the zoning code by making it residential instead of rezoning it. We just used the PDD, so that was not allowed. And once it's up and running, you'll discover that you have to put in the accommodations. Had that gone through the correct process, you would have noticed that that particular parcel is park-starved. There's no way for any of the residents to get to a park. There's no way for them to get to a school. And those are things that should have come to this board, but it didn't. Now, a little later on tonight, you'll see, and I have no objections to the new apartment complex going in down by the prison, but that also needs access to parks by sidewalks and access to the schools by sidewalks. So you'll need to put in a sidewalk getting up to TAF so people can walk to parks and walk to schools. So those are some of the things that will go on the new development, but I'm asking you tonight to make sure, take a look at, revisit the old Chapel Hill and get a sidewalk in there because the Arboretum Trail has been removed from the master plan by a committee outside of here, I was told that.
Yep.
And I was told that by the village president, and I was told, and it's in the records, that the Arboretum Trail is, if it ever goes in, would just be a wide sidewalk. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else that wants to make a general comment? Or again, we can wait till the specific agenda item and we'll open it up to comments at that time. Okay, we'll move on to new item number 6, which is action regarding approval of rezoning parcels AL-44, AL-44-1, and AL-45 located at 1649 and 1677 South Webster Avenue. Do I need to read the legal description?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Good there?
That's a long one.
That's a long one. Otherwise, I would. So we'll end it there. Item number 7. This is for the Zambaldi project, in case anybody wasn't clear.
So here's an aerial right here. As you can see on the map, there's actually three parcels here, 1, 2, and 3. The Zambaldi project, the village owns all three. The Zambaldi project would be taking up these two northern parcels, with this southern parcel being saved for a future project. But the rezoning is for all three of them. And it's from village owned currently to commercial. There is single family residential in the back here, multi-family use, condo project here. There's the bank use here, hair salon, with the subway here, and then the cemetery across the street. This particular parcel was called out in our comprehensive plan as well as our corridor study for a commercial mixed-use type. So rezoning it to commercial, even though there's not a plan at the moment for that third parcel, makes sense because it is a commercial corridor and it was specifically called out in our comprehensive plan.
All three parcels would be purchased, correct?
No, only the two northern
parcels. Only the two?
Yep.
Okay. And that's okay to rezone them from village-owned to commercial if it's not, if it's still going to be village-owned?
Correct.
Okay. The other comment I had regarding if there's anybody in the audience that wants to address a specific item, we can approve number 7 and then move on to number 8 and have discussions regarding the actual plan versus having discussions for item number 7, correct?
Yes, that actually be preferred only because of that third parcel there.
Okay. Okay. Everybody kind of get the drift on that, just to, so we can keep things moving. Okay. So I'll entertain a motion for approval. For the rezoning.
I'll move to approve the rezoning. I'm the same person.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Fielder abstains.
Okay, perfect. Okay. We'll move on to new item number 7, which shows on your agenda as item number 8. Action regarding final approval of petition from Zambaldi Brewery requesting plan development district on parcels AL-44 and AL-44-1 located at 1649 South Webster Avenue, former Village Hall property. So typically what we've done in the past is had either the architect or the petitioner kind of describe the project or what's maybe changed since the last time it's come in front of us. I don't know, Trevor, if you have any additional context that you'd like to describe prior to that.
There are a few things that I mentioned that when we did the zoning review of this project, we made the assumption that it was going to be zoned commercial, so we used the commercial standards and regulations. So that's in the final review of the PDD, the attachment 2A that is in your packet. There are a few items on here that do not meet the commercial standards. However, that's the opportunity of the PDD. The PDD creates an overlay over the existing zoning district, which provides that flexibility and allows the village and the developer to enter in discussions over certain deviations from the zoning code. Allows certain flexibilities in some areas and then maybe other areas where it might be more important to have additional standards in place. So just going over a few of them, there's 35 parking stalls showed currently with 82 in the future. The requirement going off of like an industrial manufacturing space for the brewery facility and then a restaurant tavern area for the tap room requires 37 parking stalls. Our requirements, our zoning code calls for 10 by 20 stalls. I think there could be a chance to be flexible within that PDD process to allow 9 by 18 and then capture a few additional parking stalls there. For off-street loading requirements, there is proposed a loading dock on the southern portion of the building facing the hair salon. Our zoning code requires a minimum 5-foot screen from that area, and right now, currently, it's a metal railing. Our zoning code also does allow or require it to be away from residential uses, so it meets the requirements in that respect. Zoning code requires brick, stone, or other types of material. This has a combination of stone and then metal siding, which is somewhat indicative of the use throughout the state and something that's more modern and it could be allowed again through this process. And then if you flip to the back, there are a few signed comments. Most of them aren't really too big of an issue. They require a 2-foot base. They have a foot and a third inch base, which that's not too big of a deal. The only one I'd probably be a stickler on, or would want to be a stickler on, is making sure that the setback from the driveway is 15 feet at minimum. That way it eliminates any possible line driveways. And then again, the fencing screening, of the residential area that should probably be specifically addressed and commented on, if not tonight, by the village board approval. And then general comments, fire department requires a Knox box located at the main entrance. The Parks Department requests a landscaping plan. And then Public Works Department said they conditionally approve and then they'll continue to work with them on their specifications, such as stormwater and erosion control. So as you mentioned, Wes, we do have the owners here tonight as well as the architect, and they could provide any additional insights.
Okay. Does anybody have a problem with proceeding with discussion with the owners and any comments that we have, and then we can open it up to the audience? Okay. So I'll entertain any comments from Planning Commission on the project, except for Mr. Wheeler, who is going to be abstaining from this item also.
Something that somebody who wasn't here wrote?
Yeah, Laura. She was at the last meeting when it was preliminary approval.
Yeah. I, of course, like, put it down and got buried and stuff. I read it, and the one thing that she said about the patio being close to the road, and she was saying that she thought that wasn't a good idea, that it would be distracting, but that's the whole idea of doing that, is that we want to slow the cars down on Webster, and having people out there, having things close to the road makes people see that, pay attention. I mean, that's the whole idea behind doing it. So I don't have any kind of problem like it with it that she had initiated on her letter, because that's exactly what we want to happen, so...
Just a couple of, I guess it's more housekeeping than anything else. On the back chart, on the back of your memo, regarding the fencing and the screening, we'll certainly want to have a detailed plan around the screening of the dumpsters. Is that, am I understanding correctly, that was not provided?
Great.
Okay, well, that's something that we'll definitely want to have some detail on, just because it's going to be back more towards where houses are. And then also, this being a PDD, we had the discussion 2 weeks ago around deliveries and pickups being during normal business hours, which I'd assume you'd want to have happen anyway, since you don't want to be taking deliveries at 11 o'clock at night. But if there's anything that we can do to make sure that that happens... On our end, I don't know if there really is, but I don't know if we can make that some sort of covenant. Probably not.
We do have a noise restriction, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Or 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. Just limiting out noise and activity there, as well as lighting.
Okay. And alongside that, then, also the screening in the back for the residents, so that would be on the east side of the property. We wanted to make sure that there'd be sufficient screening for when cars were coming around the back, that the lights weren't glaring in on anybody's homes at certain hours of the evening. Some more detail on that would be good, or some solution that can make us feel better about that. And I'm not sure, David, if you had done more research on smell, on odor, and maybe you can address that too. It doesn't have to be right now, but when we ask you to, you can address that. So those are some of the things that we talked about a couple weeks ago that hopefully we can find some sort of resolution or put minds at rest regarding. That's all the housekeeping stuff I have, unless anybody else said anything else.
I have a question that I apologize if was addressed previously. I wasn't at the last meeting, but I see a note of the sidewalk being a relocation. How is it different than where the side? Because looking at the air photo and being familiar with the area, it looks like the sidewalk's going to be in the same location. Or is it just described that way on the design?
There's the possibility of with Webster Avenue reconstruction project. In a few years, the sidewalk would be moved back a few feet to create a terrace between the road and the sidewalk.
Okay.
So if you look at this site plan, there's a little hash mark here. That's the existing property line. And then the sidewalk is shown as the future sidewalk.
So the sidewalk in the design will be as it currently is, not...
No, as the future proposed, the future project is
okay.
Proposed. So currently the sidewalk is on the street side of the property line. So actually, on Webster Avenue, the sidewalk is the property line. The end of the right of way.
Okay. So would the sidewalk come right to the street as it does now, or there would be...
No, there would be
a gap there.
In our project, we're discussing having a terrace, a 5 or 6 foot terrace.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Put up bike racks. That was another one.
I think it would be real important for us to make sure we have enough fencing and screening along the back of the property. I mean, you walk through there now and, you know, leaves are on and everything, but leaves are going to fall off of all those. It's just buckthorn and other brush, but the leaves are going to fall off, and then all of a sudden your property is going to be exposed. And I think if we get something out of the PDD, which it's a give and take, I think something that we want to make sure we request and pass on to the village board is that there is something specific there that we can understand, not something that says, oh yeah, we'll put something there. I mean, we're going to want to see what's there, what's going to be there, I think. And the village board is going to want to see what's going to be there if they like my idea of pressing for it. I think it's important.
Anybody else? Otherwise, I'll have Mr. Malcolm. You can come up and maybe address some of the things that we talked about, if there's been any progress since a couple of weeks ago on any of these items, or the architect. That's fine either way. You guys can both come up too, as long as you state your names and addresses respectively.
My name is Ken Rorty. Work with Dimension 4 in Green Bay at 124 South Broadway. Some of the items reflected in staff comments and so forth, most are very easy and simple to take care of. The question about parking, as Trevor and I talked about, we could adjust the size of the spacing. We actually had 37 spaces originally and then pulled two off for motorcycle parking, so that's very easy to accomplish. Like the metal railing around the loading area, but that certainly doesn't preclude the screening that would be needed on the south edge. And that did not get put into the site plan through nothing other than not being completely conscious that needed to be done on my part. So that's something that would be easily taken care of between the loading area and the south property. And the Malcolms are all over the idea of having proper screening and so forth there. I apologize for the whole thing on the neighbors and all. The fence is actually drawn on the site plan. The little notation that says what it is got omitted. Again, I'm doing drafting and I shouldn't be doing those things. But the delicacy here is some of the residents have indicated they like it just the way it is. They want it like that because it's green. And my fear is what's been mentioned here by Mr. Rowe is that they're not remembering what it's like on January 17th. And it's very open. So in order to get the 90% opacity in that fencing, Malcolms and I, we've talked, the fence is going to be there in some way, shape, or form. Either it gets rehabbed in place and we have vinyl strips available to put in there, or a better-type fence is put in, and that has to be balanced with the vegetation and so forth, because I got a email from David and Abby this week saying, well, what is the difference between trying to salvage what's there, and again, buckthorn and other things are in there, and who knows what else, and taking that out, getting in some plantings that are more appropriate. So there'd be some balance there, and I think the bottom line, the thing that I think the Malcolms would underline several times is, first and foremost, they want it to be something the neighbors like and are willing to accept, and so that's where we'll be working from. But we don't want to keep what's there to run into the situation you've talked about. So in all likelihood, there will be a change there. There's actually going to be a barrier there, either enhanced or completely changed, to make that all work. And I feel bad because I missed putting a little number 10 on there. Not that it said all of that. In terms of the signage, yeah, it will be 2 feet high. We'll have the address at the bottom of it. We'll have some landscaping on the east side of it. And the wall signs, additional information will be provided. The dumpster also is shown on the site plan, and it shows an enclosure around it. We didn't even think to detail what those materials were in that. We were far more pressed on trying to be sure we were comfortable with the materials on the building and getting those things resolved. If you've had a chance to work with us, you'd know that we've had some really nice dumpsters, so we can make that work.
That being said, are you planning on using the same material as the principal structure or something similar?
Well, my starting point would be perhaps not that it would be wood, but yes, I'd gladly use the materials on the structure. The same sort of metal that's on the structure could easily be incorporated there, and that would be in keeping with the spirit of what the village regulations suggest.
Right.
I hadn't thought of doing it that way because a lot of times you just don't go out and use the metal, but we've already got it on site. That'd be great. So, I think that covers the sorts of things that I take care of. David's got the important stuff. So.
Evening. David Malcolm, 1442 Grignon. Going down the list that I took here while we were talking, keeping the patio close to the road, as you mentioned, that's within the corridor study. That's what they were requesting. Delivery and pickup hours, like you mentioned, I don't want to be there taking deliveries at 11 o'clock at night. We don't want deliveries to come while we have customers there, so that kind of cuts us off mid-afternoon. I also don't want to be there at 5 a.m. meeting a truck. So, we have the opportunity to set our own dock hours. We're certainly going to do that with our neighbors in mind and with, frankly, my schedule in mind. Screening from traffic for the neighbors, I think Dan covered that pretty well. On the aroma, I did a little bit of research and I found a study done by, I believe it was hired out from a public relations firm from another brewery that was conducting their same process. They studied the general public. It wasn't in this area of the country, but they did a hedonic study of the aromas of brewing, how much people liked it or didn't like it. They rated it on a numeric scale. The aggregate score was that it was neither something they liked nor something they didn't like. But I want to add to that, besides the fact that most people don't really have a strong preference one way or the other, I know there was some concern about the Miller Brewing Company smell down in Milwaukee. I asked around to some of my friends who've been brewing longer than I have, and they said that there also used to be a vinegar plant next door, and that's where a lot of the smell in that neighborhood came from. Short of bringing you guys down to a brewery to smell it for yourselves, it's kind of the best info I can give you. But another reassurance I can give is that our brewing schedule is going to be about 2 to 3 brews per week. That process will take place during regular business hours because, again, I don't want to brew overnight. I've done that before. And the part of the process that produces that aroma lasts about an hour and a half, and it's the middle of the process. So if I brew from 8 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, it'll be 11:30 to maybe 1:30 that aroma producing part of the process is going on. The rest of it is all enclosed and happens inside the building, and the neighbors never know outside of that.
On the order part of it, what is your byproduct? Is it yeast?
The byproduct that'll be removed is going to be mainly spent grains.
Okay.
So once you soak the grains in water, you drain that liquid away, that becomes beer, then you have the spent grains. And most breweries in the area, what we'll do as well is we'll work with a local farmer to haul that away. They use it as livestock feed,
right.
And it's a way to reuse that product and not send it to the landfill.
One of the problems that Titletown has had is that they're not able to fill the trailer that goes out to the pig farm. fast enough so that trailer can sometimes sit, and that's what causes kind of a smell?
Sure.
So they
They have a much bigger brew system than we do, so they produce, they need a bigger grain outlet. When I used to brew at Titletown on their smaller system, which is similar to the size we'll have, they just used big barrels, and we dragged them out, and the farmer came and picked up those barrels. So it was kind of regardless of
they're sealed?
They're not, but we would call him and he'd pick up same day.
Are they, is it dry or is it wet?
It's damp.
Okay.
I think that was all. Do you guys have any other things you wanted me to address?
I guess bringing up, going back to the email that we got from one of the alternate plan commission members. Mm-hmm. So we addressed the aspect about the, let's see here, about the patio. But the other part that you mentioned is, it's, I'll just read how it's written because, you know, maybe you'll understand better. But it's not a beer garden if there is limited naturescaping around the beer garden slash patio. So she's concerned about it being an eyesore and distracting drivers, which we talked about that. But she also talked about, in order to be a true beer garden, authentic to the nature-immersed feel of Alloway, it should have, I guess, more vegetation around it.
Yeah, more gardens.
Yeah. One comment, I apologize. I got the email at a lot before, so I didn't have an opportunity to send it to Malcolm's or
Yeah. We're sorry for springing this one on you.
Sure. Well, in the drawing, you can see it looks like it's cut off at the bottom. There we go. There is shrubs around the entire edge of it, and the two sections to the north and south against the sidewalk are both landscaped areas as well.
You throwing some morning glory or some ID or something?
Sure. You know, and I had considered planting hop vines along the fence itself because they will climb horizontally. But the patio itself is going to stay concrete because we need folks to be able to walk on it. And so, and the circular part right next to the main entrance is also a planting there. So I'm not sure if that addresses the concern, but that's what we had planned for it. We can change the name to a patio instead of a beer garden if that's helpful.
I think it's fine. It's just the concern about it not just looking like a wrought iron fence, but
sure.
The vegetation. Does anybody have anything else? Otherwise, we can. Is anybody in the audience wanting to comment on this item on the agenda? Is Zambaldi item? Okay. So I'll entertain a motion to suspend the rules.
Just in the rules.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so anybody that would like to speak on this agenda item can certainly come up. Just please state your name and address and your comments.
Okay, so my name is Don Johnson, 1622 Rustic Oaks Court, and I'm directly behind the property in question. Okay, my concern is the hours right after school is let out, between the hours of 3 and 5 o'clock, there's a lot of traffic on Webster. Okay, and is there ever been any consideration about just a right turn only on Webster Street from the parking lot? So here's the situation. You have little kids, little girls and boys, walking home from school with their papers in their hands and their jackets, and like kids are playing around. Okay, so they're not paying too much attention. And then a car is trying to cross four lanes of traffic trying to go south on Webster Street. And I'm concerned about the safety of the little ones, and also the drivers. So that's my comment. And thank you for addressing the fence issue and stuff. I talked to you a couple weeks ago about that and stuff, so appreciate it. That's my comment.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? Just again, please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Doreen Phillips, and I live at 1634 Rustic Oaks, right in the middle of the backyard. The fence that is there, yes, there's a buckthorn in there, but it's a very natural buffer, especially now. Of course, it's filled in. But if you were to take that out of there, I guess I need to see something that's natural, because at least now it's a natural buffer. That's my big concern, because right now I have total privacy. I like craft beer, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to see that. And I just, you know, that's my main concern, if they could come up with something that's acceptable.
Sure. So. Thank you. Anybody else on this item?
My name is Therese Greening. I live at 1640 Rustic Oaks Court. I have the longest part of the fence that they're talking of replacing. I like it the way it is. It's decrepit. It's ugly. But I like it the way it is. Yes, in the wintertime, the leaves and everything fall off. But we had heard something that they're going to put a berm in place. That was something that I had heard. Anyway, I'd like to keep our fence. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
My name is John Chaline, and I live at, I live in a smaller coast, so what's important, I guess, is I own a lot that backs up to the brewery on Rustic Oaks, and I do have an issue about the fence also. I do think that you have a lot of time during the year that it's not going to be impervious. I think it should be something that's impervious, but I think a requirement should be that they put shrubs and something natural on the side to the residential side, which is not difficult to do. They could plant evergreens, or they could plant arborvitae, or they could plant evergreen trees or something like that. So that would be my recommendation.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Sure.
My name is Bill Swayze. I live at 1600 South Irwin Avenue. So I'm a few blocks just directly, almost directly east of the proposed brewery here. Listening to some of the conversation here tonight, I'm trying to get caught up on this. I've been gone, and so this is my first connection with it. My concern about the discussion tonight is that there's a lot of promises or generalities. For example, when deliveries are going to occur. I didn't hear any specifics. And that's just one example. It's one thing to make a general comment here, and then when things start rolling, it comes out a little different, and everybody kind of forgets about that. So I think it's important to pin down more of the detail. On a more macro point of view, I think it's really, really unfortunate that this is even being considered for this site. The street right behind Rustic Oaks Court is one of the nicest things that's ever happened to the northern part of the village. The northern part of the village, as you know, is a lot of older homes, a lot of smaller homes. Some of them need repair and are kind of run down a little bit. You take the nicest street in that entire area and put a brewery in there. I don't get it. I'm not necessarily opposed to the brewery, but it should not be in that location in Alloway. I'm also concerned, have concerns or questions about, and again, this was a little bit vague, about the smells and when they were going to occur. And the the traffic. Now, if they have to close, for example, at 10 o'clock, I noticed that they have parking spots for motorcycles. There's some older folks on this street, right on Rustic Oaks Court. Some retired folks. And so you're going to have motorcycles peeling out of there at 10 o'clock at night. It's really unfortunate that this is being planned to go in at that location.
Thank you.
Kathleen Riley, and I live at 1639 Rustic Oaks Court. My big concern is the traffic and the noise that's created by cars and outside venue. We like to have our windows open, and when we do, we take in all the street noise. We take in the street noise and the conjoining, rip roaring, have a good time noise. And it is kind of disturbing to have a situation that could create a little chaotic, jovial atmosphere that might not be most receptive at 10 or 11 o'clock. And granted, if they close at 10, that's fine, but very often it's in the parking lot that you have an additional avenue for noise. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. If there's no one else, I'll entertain a motion to return to regular session.
Return to regular session.
Second.
The motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, we are back in the regular session. So we got some comments. The write-in, write-out concern was the first time I've heard that concern. However, I would defer to staff and their evaluation as to whether or not that's safe to have a full access point there. And I don't know if we discussed it, and I'm ignorant to the fact that it wasn't a write-in, write-out. It's a full access?
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay. So I assume you researched that or took that into consideration, traffic flows.
And that's something that Webster Avenue is a county highway. Unfortunately or fortunately, whatever way you look at it, it's something that would have to be discussed further with Brown County and be approved by them. But it's something that we can look into. The current setup makes it easy for delivery trucks and also the ladder trucks for the Metro Fire Department to get in and out. So that's something else to take into consideration, but it's something that we can look into.
If it's deemed safe by the county and it's always been a full access at that point, there's no reason to change that. It's more commercially viable if there is a full access point there rather than a right-in, right-out. So I have absolutely no problem with it, but it's just an interesting concern. I think it's a valid concern. Okay. Then the other was around the fence. So we have a few different opinions on what that should look like. So I'll leave that to the architect and Mr. Malcolm to sort that out with the neighbors behind you. And then the noise. And we just want to reiterate that patio section is going to be on the Webster side. So there'd be a building between. However, you're correct. Sometimes when people go back to their cars, there might be talking or yelling. So we'll trust that the business owners will keep a wrap on that. These are the only comments that I had regarding the comments, if anybody else has.
For the write-in, the write-out, I mean, that makes a big difference for the business of whether you can have access. So that has to be a big consideration, that to just turn it into a right turn only would be detrimental to the business there. So
would have to, you really have to look at that. And I think that with Webster being redone in a couple of years, I'm sure that all the driveways would be carefully looked at and evaluated at that time, too. And as far as the fencing in the back goes, too, with the neighbors, there's always the option of putting the kind of plantings you want in your yard on the other side of the fence, too. I mean, to work together to put, you know, that they can, the business can plant things, but then the neighbors can plant things, too. So, I mean, that's always that option of, you know. Because I live on 172 with sound wall there, and we've put things on our side of the fence to screen the sound wall that's on the other side. So, there's that option. But otherwise, I'm okay.
Anybody else? Sure. Yeah. Sorry.
There are a few concerns about. Do I need to say my name and everything again?
Yeah, you should.
Okay. David Malcolm, 1442 Grignan Street, Green Bay. There were a few concerns about hours. As I said at the last meeting when I was here, our intent is for the dock times to be 8 to 4. I didn't reiterate that. I apologize for the gentleman who missed that meeting. And our intent for the hours of the business is to be closed at 9 p.m. We're intending to be closed on Mondays right now, Tuesday through Thursday, to be closed at 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays, with the intent to be good neighbors. We want to do everything we can from the point of view of our traffic flow and the barrier. We want to be good neighbors. The point of this brewery is to be a neighborhood gathering place. We want the neighbors to come and see us. For anybody who's not familiar with brewery tap rooms, it's a sort of a new concept in this country. They tend to be really family-friendly. We're going to have a chalk wall for kids to come. We're going to have toys for kids. This is not a tavern where we're going to have, you know, people down on their luck drinking their troubles away. This is a place to come enjoy an artisanal product and have a good time in a family-friendly, safe, cheerful environment. As far as the traffic and turning, I appreciate all the comments. Maybe it's a question for the staff, but my understanding is that the Webster Avenue plan intends more curb cuts for turns out of businesses up and on the street. Is that right, in the median? Or is it?
Improve the access.
Improve access. Yeah. So I think that might be a little bit out of our hands, but yeah. That's not point out. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Any other comments?
Well, I do appreciate the concern of the residents. Different things have been looked at over the course of the last, I don't know, how long has it been for sale, 10 years? And truly, I think this is one of our best options that we've looked at. And no matter what's going to go there, I think the residents are going to have a in back, are going to all be concerned. I think you have some people that want to be good neighbors right now, and I think it's the best alternative I've seen.
Yep. Okay, if there are no other comments, I'll entertain a motion to approve or the final approval of petition from Zimbaldi Brewery for the PDD on parcels AL-44 and AL-44-1 located at 1649 South Webster Avenue, the former Village Hall property.
Can you maybe just note that this isn't final? It would still go to the
Village
Board.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep, and this will go to the Village Board. I'm just reading off the agenda, but it does go to the Village Board again. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion. But do I have to reiterate all of the discussion points?
I don't know, so.
Second.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
You are abstained.
You are abstained. Okay, it passes. Thank you very much. And it'll be at the Village Board meeting on what date, Trevor?
October 3rd.
October 3rd.
It will be at next Tuesday, and it'll be just to schedule the public hearing. But the public hearing will actually be on October 3rd.
So there'll be more time for the public to discuss the proposal on October 3rd. Thank you. Old item number 6, which is now item number 8, action regarding approval of conditional use petition for Mao and Associates to construct apartments on 3010 Riverside Drive, southwest of Green Bay Correctional Institution, main entrance. And I believe everybody got their plans with where that's located and how the layout is proposed.
All right, so as you said, there's a proposed apartment for 3010 Riverside Drive. This is the property southwest of Green Bay Correctional Institution, north of Willowbrook Office Complex, just to give the residents a frame of reference. This is an allowed use in the current zoning, but through conditional use. So what the conditional use does is, in our ordinance, there are certain additional standards above and beyond our typical zoning code, which should be addressed in order to allow for this type of use. So in the packet, I went ahead and printed out our conditional use policy in our ordinance, and section 475-58 lists the standards that should be met in order to allow this use in there. So it's sort of like a rezoning, but not at the same time, because if it is allowed, we have defined standards on whether or not to allow it. So it's not like a rezoning in that it doesn't have to be specifically mentioned in the comprehensive plan or anything, because it's somewhat of a lot of use. So a lot of the standards have to do with general traffic, neighboring property uses, and drainage and that sort of thing. Pretty general. I did speak with one property owner, and they do have some concerns about possible parking and additional traffic from guests and trail users in their parking lot. And I believe there are a few people in the audience here tonight that would like to comment.
Okay.
And one more thing, as are shown in the plans, the developer is proposing to pave trail access from the development to the Fox River Trail, make that connection around the stormwater pond. And those specific standards would meet the criteria of the not only staff here, but also the Wisconsin DNR and the Brown County Parks Department. So
that looks all right as far as the surveying goes? Because once you get back in there, there's some dips. There's nothing that has to be done as far as adding impervious surface to that area that connects to the trail next to the detention pond. That's all right?
Right. There should be, and maybe the developer could speak more specific about this, but whether or not this section around the trail is going to be paved or not. It's not currently paved. In the initial discussions, it appeared like this was going to be paved, but in the proposed plans right now, it doesn't. So I guess that would be my only comment.
Is it currently mowed, or it's just natural?
Gravel.
That area looks awfully wet back there.
There are some floodplain in the back, and wetlands, and then that ESA right here. But that this yellow line is the ESA, I believe. So they're trying to stay off of that.
Are they connecting to the trail on both the north and the south side? Is that what that is?
No, this is, Craig, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a low flow flowage for this pond. Craig.
You know, the drainage way or drainage ditch that goes up to the upper left, that is actually the drainage way that comes from Riverside Drive through the Scott property and comes all the way down. The outfall is where that arrow is right there. That's the outfall to the Fox River. When we constructed the stormwater pond, we created a flow diversion at the Scott property so that peak flows all divert into the stormwater pond and then come back into this outfall area. That was a condition of obtaining that permit from the DNR. So that is the drainage way up here that goes all the way up past the Scott property.
Is there a way to tell on that map, Trevor, where the 100-year floodplain is?
Not on this map. I have it up here. So again, ESAs are shown here, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're there. How the Brown County aerial determines ESA sometimes is if there's a certain high degree of drop-off, they'll mark that as an ESA. So it might just be, you know, it might be a grade difference of like 4 feet within 2 feet or something. So it's a steep drop-off. I'm not sure specifically. That would have to be addressed when we develop the plans further. That would be something that we'll talk to the DNR about. But here's that ESA right here, and then the floodplain is back here at back end of the property.
And then the to put it in perspective, so that 30-foot easement is that mowed area, or what looks like a mowed area down. If you go to the...
Right here?
Yeah, so that's that 30-foot easement that we're looking at on this map to kind of give us perspective on where the building, the 9-unit building...
Right.
6-unit building.
Right there.
Yeah, okay. So, that 6-unit building that's proposed here looks like it'd be pretty wet.
Yeah, it might be in the floodplain. If it's going to be in the floodplain, they're going to have to bring in fill for that.
Sure.
Looking at this, these apartments, are they one or two bedroom or?
I don't know if they have the statistics, but I believe they're two bedroom.
Can you go up there and address?
Yeah, sure.
I'm just a little concerned when I look at the parking. There's like a one stall garage for each apartment, and what if there's, you know, a couple living there and each of them have a car? Where are they going to go?
Yep. So my name is John Lee. I'm with Mount Associates, 400 Security Boulevard in Green Bay. We're part of engineering, surveying, and planners for this project for the developers at UGG. With that, it's two bedroom, two bath units for each individual unit. Yes, each unit has one individual stall inside the garages, and then there are detached garages for 33 of the 36 units. To have an additional stall. So we could not fit in, because of the easement over at the central 9 on the southern side, another 9 stall detached. That's why we have the 3 parking stalls off to the west. Mm-hmm. So I could do 2.0 stalls then per unit right there, and then you go ahead and add the additional parking stalls along the northern part of the boundary to get your parking totals above 2.0 per unit.
So would the cars be parked like in front of the units on the paved area? Is that what you're...
No, so there would be no parking happening in front of the... There's not enough space right there for that. So the parking would occur, there'd be a garage stall in the building itself, single stall within the buildings, and then there'd be a garage stall for 33 of the 36 buildings, or sorry, units, in detached garages.
So they're going to have two garages?
Yes, yeah. Well, two garages.
On the drawing there, those ones where it says... six-stall garage. Those are the detached ones,
correct.
And the other ones aren't showing up.
The other ones are inside the building themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They'd be on the first floor. You have building. You have lower level and upper level.
Got it.
What was that? Yes.
And this blue, what's this blue thing?
Storm retention. We don't have it. We need to do the engineering for the site. But just speaking with our engineers, the preliminary look to have an area where storm retention would happen there. And then also potentially And that triangle that is formed with the garages, potentially putting some more stormwater management happening over there as well for the site. To give you wetlands, the site was delineated earlier this month, and where the approximate wetland edge is actually where the wetlands were in that area. There were no other wetlands delineated throughout the rest of the site. It was right there. So this is the approximate line, and that's where we'll go to. Some other specifics about the site itself. There's a mixture of buildings. So the building that would be placed up along Riverside would have more character and architectural detail to go in place along Riverside to bring the emphasis of the road and the structures to that site, whereas the rest are not more pedestrian-focused. They'd be more traditional apartment-looking design. The buildings that are, the building gaps along the building, along Riverside itself, those units would have individual entries to go out. Or it could be some, there might be some shared, but there'd be entries out that would lead out to Riverside, understanding that in the future there'll be a sidewalk there with the reconstruction of the street itself. And then also going back into trying to connect back pedestrian-wise, you'll notice along the northern edge of the property, having a specific pedestrian bike access point that could be used by, obviously, the residents, but then the folks who are the public to go ahead and access improved trail access to the Fox River Trail. So the developers will go ahead and pave the path up to the existing pathway, and then are willing to go ahead and pave the existing improved area, which is not paved along the pond, to connect over into the Fox River Trail, which would be a great asset to the area south of 172 to actually have a public access point to the trail itself. The developers would have to go ahead and strike up language with the village as far as easements, but are very minimal to go ahead and having public parking at the stalls that are on the north side of the property to allow folks to go ahead and use it from the community and enjoy the trails.
One curiosity, and I don't know if you can, if you know this or not, but what's the distance from where that's located to our Galley 57, Riviera? What do you think, Brad? Maybe a quarter mile to a half a mile?
From here to Riviera?
Yeah.
I would say at least a half.
Yeah. So like a half a mile?
If not.
You're probably pushing a mile at that point.
Really? You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious because a part of our master plan was for that area to be a mixed-use restaurant, entertainment kind of area, and in order to have that, you need people. So would this tie into that kind of corridor study?
I'm wondering about, as far as the pedestrian aspects along one edge, but what about the people that are in the buildings? I know that, like, on the streets, you walk in the streets, but is there any sidewalks anywhere from any of those buildings to get to there, or will they be just walking on the,
It's a smaller site, and because of the angles that we have in here, it is accessible for fire department, but you're going to slow down to there. So we felt that it would just make sense to go ahead and just try to access that via the blacktop in the property itself to go and get to the dedicated pedestrian area as soon as possible from where your access point is, yes.
And honestly, the actual access for the people in this apartment complex is going to be to walk over to that other driveway and to walk down that way to get to the trail.
Yeah.
Because that's the way that the neighborhood does now. And the other thing I would like to see is I have no clue when Riverside Drive is ever going to be done and get sidewalks, that if there's some way that we can just start putting them in when we're doing projects like this. Like what I agree with Jim's comments on the other apartment complex that went in, the sidewalk should have been part of that. And are we obligated to have a sidewalk as a part of this? This isn't a PPD. But to just put the sidewalk in while all this is being done, we have a general idea of where it would go. Probably by the time Riverside Drive gets a sidewalk, it will be old and crumbled and need to be replaced anyway. because if you're putting in this access, people from the Taft area are going to want to come down there. And they're going to be coming down Taft. And then how do they get to this driveway that's all the way over here along Riverside Drive? So, I would like to see that considered. I'm not sure if we can say that they have to do that, but
that's a good point. You're right, though, because people coming down Taft are going to want to get to that other access point. If there's not a sidewalk, they'll be walking like in a ditch.
Right. So, yeah, it might be public access, but it's only going to be public access to people that are living there or people that are driving their cars in there, not actually the other people in town, because there's not the access to the access, if that makes any sense. But to see if we can just start putting sidewalks in when project licenses are done, because the DOT keeps putting off Riverside Drive, you know, when the other thing happens. So, but those are my comments.
I agree with the sidewalk comments as well. I think we definitely need to do better with getting access with sidewalks. Same thing with that Arboretum Trail. Something, you know, we have to do better with that. The other comment I have is that this site seems really wet. There's a lot of ponds around that area. And my concern is that, okay, so we're creating additional pervious surface, and then we're also talking that we need to fill a floodplain. This water has to go somewhere. I've already seen the water just this season being high enough that it's, you know, creeping up the Fox River Trail. You run by, and there's the water right there. So we're creating more impervious surface, filling floodplain. We're going to be risking having water on Fox River Trail here soon.
So right now, the site itself is going to be at 44% impervious surface, which the code calls for 50% or less. So the wetlands themselves take up a good chunk of that. They do. But as far as it was acknowledged, far as the water and the wetlands here, and try to go ahead and keep as much green space as possible.
So does that mean if that floodplain is filled, will there be stormwater detention on site to make up for that loss as well? Because I know the code won't require that you have to do that, but we'll still have a loss of water retention in the site if the floodplain is filled.
I know that this will be made to standards as far as reaching NOI for the owner, and so this will be built to a standard that will be acceptable.
Yeah,
as
so
far
the,
as sta-
the standards would not address the loss of the floodplain and the loss of storage there, though.
I would think the insurance company for the buildings would have something to say about what standards they're built to, what they're going to insure if they're in a floodplain.
And it's the buildings will not be in the floodplain. They won't be in the floodplain themselves.
We actually do not allow for any new construction to be in the floodplain. It has to be brought up minimum of 2 feet above the floodplain, extending 15 feet beyond the structure. So, to Angie's point, it doesn't address some of the issues of where does that water go specifically, but I imagine that the developer will be addressing that in some capacity, but you're right that it doesn't, our code doesn't require that.
So does that mean what you're saying, Trevor, is that when you said fill that floodplain, you didn't necessarily, do you mean that the design would be changed that it would be out of the floodplain, or you can build up, basically you're building up the floodplain, but still you're taking up the space that would have collected
water?
You'd
be building up the floodplain, yeah.
So filling it
you're
in,
right.
So you're losing flood. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's not bad.
Be available for questions.
I think that's my biggest concern with the whole thing is, and I understand it can be built up out of the floodplain, but just that western side of the property, when you pull up the 100 year, you know, that's if the river floods. So if the river were to, there'd be no place for water to go if we had a big rain event and the river was a little bit higher than it is now, but I trust that engineering could solve it. And I know we're not going to solve that here today. That's just one concern, is the water flow. Other than that, though, I mean, I think it's a great proposal to do something with a piece of property that's not been used to its highest and best use.
Yeah,
But is there anybody in the audience that wanted to make comments on this item? Okay. I'll entertain a motion to suspend the rules.
So moved.
Second.
So motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We are, we can take comments from the public.
My name is Eric Pellner. I'm with Pellner Properties. We own the property directly north of the proposed build site. I prepared some comments ahead of time that I was going to pass out, but I think I'm going to hold back on passing those printed comments out. Some of the concerns I have were addressed just previously with Melvin from Mauer Associates, but I still have some concerns. And I'll just start off with just some general comments. Again, this is just an opinion, but my opinion is, you know, residential apartments don't fit the area in between two commercial office buildings. I think something else would be better suited for the area and the neighborhood. I think with the number of residential units that are proposed for this build, would it significantly increase the amount of traffic on an already busy street, Riverside Drive, making it more difficult to get into and out of the parking lots and nearby businesses, nearby streets, at all times of the day and night, weekends, as opposed to, say, for example, a commercial office building. There'd be increased traffic if that was something that was built. There'd be increased traffic during the normal business hours, but reduced traffic in later evenings and on the weekends. Number two, again, some of this was addressed, but the proposed layout, again, as I look at this without any explanation, seems to fall significantly short of adequate parking. From the map, you can't tell that there's parking underneath each of the units. So I can only see the one garage stall across from each of the units. But I still have concerns over the amount of parking. Clearly, given the proximity of that build and the parking area right next to our parking lot, I have concerns of residents and guests parking in our parking lot. So that's a concern. It's such a concern, I feel like if residential apartments were approved, I would like to request that there be a privacy wall and potentially a partial retaining wall near the entire property line along the north side of 3010 Riverside, which is adjacent to our south side of 3000 Riverside, belonging to Pellner Properties. The privacy wall would provide a clear separation from residential and commercial property. Secondly, a privacy wall would help to prevent residents and guests of 3010 Riverside from parking vehicles in the parking stalls of Pellner Property at 3000 Riverside, which I just mentioned. A privacy wall would also deter residents from loitering on the property of 3010 Riverside. Currently, Pellner Properties, the building is fully leased, which requires all available parking stalls to be available for tenants of the building, their employees, and their clients. The scheduled reconstruction of Riverside Drive with the addition of sidewalks in the year 2021 will result in a loss of parking stalls in the upper parking lot of Pellner Properties. Therefore, preventing residents and guests from parking in Pellner Properties parking lot is important to maintain the availability of parking for those using the Pellner Properties building. A privacy wall also prevents residents and guests of the proposed site from utilizing the parking lot of Pellner Properties as a shortcut to the gravel pathway to the north side of 3000 Riverside, which is proposed as Fox River Trail access point. Fourth, I believe providing an access point to the Fox River Trail, as proposed, will come at the expense of Pellner Properties. I'm not against access to the trail, but without the previously mentioned privacy fence, residents and their guests will likely cross Pellner Properties to access the proposed trail. This would increase the amount of foot traffic, which would increase liability and potential property damage. The additional foot traffic behind or to the west of Pellner Properties could increase the amount of loitering onto Pellner Properties, resulting in an increase in litter, unauthorized use of our waste and recycle dumpsters, which are nearby. Any additional Loitering onto Pelner properties also increases the risk of damage to the vehicles and personal property of the business tenants, their guests, of Pelner properties building. In my opinion, providing trail access will undoubtedly increase the unauthorized use of Pelner properties parking lot from people far and away from the area as a parking area to access the trail, especially given the close proximity to Highway 172. An added access point at this proposed location would be the closest access point from the highway for people coming from much further distances to access the trail. In addition, it is my understanding that a gravel path and paved easement road on the north side of Pelner properties, which is on Pelner properties land, is meant for pond access, not as an extension of or an access to the trail as it currently sits. Regardless if signs are posted to deter unauthorized parking, it will cost us time, money, and added frustration to enforce unauthorized parking. Lastly, an additional access point to the Fox River Trail should not come at the expense of private business owners. Without additional parking for people to access the trail, it will come at the expense of public properties. Thank you.
Anybody else?
My name is Marilyn Gardner. My residence address is 120 Roselawn Boulevard, but I'm also the property owner of Willowbrook Office Building, 3200 Riverside Drive, directly south of this particular property. I have a couple of notes to remind myself to be sure to ask questions and cover things. If I could ask whoever is the moving arrow, or if I can, indicate on the slide that is there now.
Great. Do you want to use a pointer? Otherwise, I can.
This swath makes it appear like it is a very flat piece of land. Linear, rectangular, flat. The obvious is not here. Along Riverside Drive, my fellas cut beyond our property line into the Pell property line. There is the width of a $24,000 lawnmower that just makes it from the curb line to the cut. If you notice, the grass is cut there. There is a sheer drop-off. Sheer drop-off. This is not flat. So earlier, and I commend you, I'm sorry, I don't see your name, for indicating that sidewalks might be a possibility. There's no room without fill to get the width of the sidewalk here. It's that sheer of the drop-off. Also, as you go along our north property line this way, this is wetland, these are cattails, this is swale, this is wet. Our property line, as it goes through the water this way, this is marshy. Trees are dying and falling over because the water has gotten to their roots and they're rotting. There's more cattail, marsh grass. We're the ones that cut this, and I told the guys not to cut this any longer. But there were people at your property, the Fell property, that the guys, my guys, were cutting so that they could access it. They were doing a favor because they could walk back and forth. And where have you been the last meetings? I felt like a sole voice. I have had to post for insurance purposes. If you notice that it says there is no real trail access, there is no public property parking on that property, I had to do that for insurance purposes. We speak from the heart, but we also speak as business owners. We have liability issues. We have access issues on a road, a state highway that's 35 miles an hour. I've got to get a few hundred people in and out of this parking lot in my building. We've got a north lot and a south lot. He has one. So when he says that there is an access that he's concerned about here, when you've got that as an access to Riverside Drive, just south, real close to 172, close to that stoplight, So you have that. That's issue number two. Issue number three is, right now, this is very, very marshy, very, very wet. And it's not just because we get a lot of rain this year. It's that way always, always. We cannot build on our triangle land that goes back behind the Phil property, not only because it's floodplain, it's one way, but because it's just too wet back there. So that's something I think we need to be concerned with. Now, when it's rain and it's wet, right now this is its own natural surface drainage, if I can put it that way. As it goes towards the Fox River, it takes all the water that goes through our storm sewer underneath this area as it drains out to the retention pond, back out to the Fox River. That's a lot of water that comes down from the old golf course. Look at the percentage of hard surface here. And I know the developer's here tonight, and I don't mean to knock you, but I'm bringing issues that I think you've got too much density here. There's too much hard surface over land that is not flat. If this were, and it's a small piece of land, and he is correct, this is commercial, but look at the hard surface. You've got driveway, parking, buildings, additional drives through there, and I think the density is way too high for this particular area. I think you could have a better use. I'm not against progress, not against it at all, but it's got too high of a density. There should be a dimensional layout here for you to see, where you can see what I'm talking about. This goes so far in with water, and so far up. Right now, there are dead trees in here. They're dying, and they're laying there, but they've not been taken care of. Look where this building is, right over those marshy, wet trees. So your comments about a lot of water in there are true. And he also brings up a point, and if I piggyback, I've had to again post this. The trail is a wonderful thing, and in the baseball program, build it and they will come, it's a plus. But there's no parking and no access for it. That was planned at the time that the rails of trails took that railroad there. So now you've got people trying to get to the trail across 35 miles an hour road. It's pretty tough. So I've had to post this. I understand you might want to try posting that. It has helped us a little bit. But way too high density, way too high, even though supposedly it's 42%. And 50% is what's required. Way too high hard surface on there. Now back to my notes. Thank you. My questions would be, are there currently easements on this property that need to be worked with? I think that's pretty much it. Besides easements, the thought that I want to leave you all is, even though I don't live around Riverside Drive, I've got a pretty big investment right next door. And the hard surface that's here for the water runoff is just going to put these poor folks cramming 36 apartments plus the places for the dumpsters, the vehicles that have to get in there and get rid of those dumpsters, move them and change them, fire trucks, etc. That's such high density. Keith, I think maybe scale it down a little bit if it's possible. Unless you need that number to make it profitable, I understand that as well. But it's such a high, hard surface area in such a small area. That's the point I wanted to make.
Murray Baston, 3619 Woods Edge Way, Dupier. I'm a member of AGG, the developer of this piece of property. thank you for allowing me to speak. We want to work with Alloway, and we'd also like to get along with our neighbors. If you don't mind, I'd like to step over here and address some of these issues. There was a concern with this property owner. We would be willing to potentially put a fence up here for privacy. He can put his own signs then as far as no parking, because there won't be any way to get parking here. They'd have to come into his driveway. For the access to the river trail, we also provide parking for that. The units kind of are in a, this area, I know she addressed the slope here. There is a slope. This is higher, it was a little bit lower, but this is the water line of the ESA area. The engineering will have to design the pond, retention pond, but that's all part of engineering and will take place. We are not opposed to putting a even a temporary walkway here along Riverside, if that's desired. But you're right, there is a problem here. That is an engineering thing. If Riverside gets expanded, that's going to have to be addressed in the future as well. But we're not opposed to doing that. We want to work with the village. This provide is a beautiful piece of property. We're going to provide 36 residents that is in a beautiful community overlooking the Fox River. I think it's really a very nice opportunity for Alloway.
Thank you.
Hello again, John DeRoy, Mount Associates, 400 Skidder Boulevard. Just to address some of the easement questions, besides your standard easements along Riverside, there is the very well noted there, the sanitary sewer easement that runs through the property. There is an easement for the cell tower that does exist that follows the existing road, essentially, that is there. That road would be improved for the sake of emergency access and for the people who will be living in the property and the visitors who come and access the parking stalls there. Speaking of parking stalls, the way this goes right now would be 2.28 stalls per unit. It is what this comes out to be. That's what we have there. Thanks.
Yeah. That doesn't really allow for parking for the trail, and it doesn't really allow for visitors, and there's always going to be visitors.
Understood. And part of that 2.28 would be that the overall the stall is divided by 36.
2.28.
Correct. Yes. 2.28 with the majority of those stalls being in units or in building stalls, yes. Correct.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like there's no parking in there.
You don't have any options. You know, in other apartments, developments, you might have a side street or you might have something nearby.
There's nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go there. Unless you get an easement from Mr. Pellner or from Willowbrook or from anybody else, but that was my initial thought is because you will have visitors, you're right.
The garages are just one stall, right?
Correct.
So what happens if you know, there are two vehicles per apartment, which is highly likely.
Yeah.
Are there more stalls that I'm not seeing here? Because that's very little parking.
There's two garages for each unit.
Okay.
The garage stall right here, as you go to the building, and then the detached garages.
Okay, so two garages.
Six and six, you have one in here, one across the way.
I just see people not putting their car in the garage either because they're in a hurry, so they just park it and don't put it in.
I think it would be pretty tough for somebody. While it does meet the requirements of the fire department, it's wide enough. That's not so wide that you'd have to go ahead and really there's not room there to go ahead and do it. You would be blocking traffic by doing that. So it would not be allowed. just cannot happen.
What room garage?
To park in front of the garage stall just to stay outside and park right there.
Oh.
There's no room for it. You cannot park in front of the garage stall.
Yeah, but I can see the few parking stalls that are there being used up for that reason. They don't just put their cars in, so that doesn't add visitor parking. I just can see that as a problem.
If what I'm looking at is accurate, that the only place where you could do that would be on the north side of the property, where you have the stalls delineated.
Right, that's the only. You have three stalls on the south side, southwest, and then the approximate 9 stalls on the north side. Everywhere else, you cannot park in front of it. No, it's not going to happen.
But those three stalls on the south side are technically resident parking, because.
The developer had to go ahead and make the final decision on that. If they want to go ahead and deem it as visitor or not, potentially those could be single stall units. But yes, that's why that was the intent of those three stalls right there, was noticing that we want to go ahead and have 2.0 stalls individually for the units themselves.
Yet still parking for visitors to the Fox River Trail.
Correct.
And the Fox River Trail.
My opinion is that we're trying to put too many units in that space. And I think it shouldn't be more. I mean, I think there should be 8 or 10 fewer. A couple of those buildings need to go away. And I'm not so sure that the enticement of having access to the Fox River Trail is, you know, I mean, we're talking about all the problems with it. I'm not so sure that's such a great incentive for us to say, yeah, let's go ahead and do it because we get an access to the Fox River Trail. I'm not necessarily thinking that's a good idea to have the access to the trail and to have so many units there. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't be able to vote in favor of recommending this currently for many of the reasons that have been stated. But
as far as access to the trail goes, there's generally a need there. Now, the other properties have mentioned that folks have gone ahead on their property. Whether they like it or not, people go and access it. I was out there one night back in May, and people cut through. That happens. So this is a legitimate access point with improvements that would be occurring on the site to give people an option. That is clearly something that people want to have. People want to have that option to go to the trail, and it's not available to people in this area. So we do feel it's a great asset not only for the potential future residents of this site, but for the neighborhood itself, to allow another point to get back to the trail.
My thought is that the people living in the apartment complex are pretty soon going to say, we don't want public access to those spots because we want our friends to be able to come and park down here. I think that it's good to have the access from the street, and that it's more of an access for people that already live in the neighborhood. But if you're opening it up, I think that those 9 spots are... if you advertise that, you might get more than you bargained for, you know, as far as people coming up. But then there's plenty of other places. If you're in a car and you're driving, there's plenty of other places within a mile of this to park and access the trail. It's the access for the people that live in the neighborhood and want to get on their bike and just ride down there. That's a bigger issue, at least I think that, because once you're in your car, you can drive to the pier, to the boat launch. You can drive to, you know, to one of the other access points along in Alloway. So I don't think that aside. And I think that as far as the drainage and the water and all that, I think that we need to leave it at the owner of the property, is that can they? They're the ones that are going to have to spend the money building the buildings. They're the ones that are going to have to find property insurance to be able to insure. So they're going to have to do it right and work with all that drainage. We're saying all this here, but what can we as this planning commission actually say? The zoning is there. Do we have any authority to say make it smaller and put less buildings in there? Do we actually have that authority? I mean, I don't know if we do or not. If it's zoned, And if they can fit it in, and if they can fit it within the drainage ways and things, do we, as a planning commission, even have...
Yeah.
We would have to go back to what they put in here, the standards, and view if the standards are being met.
Yeah, and that's really where the question is. It's in that 47.5-58. So, you know, letter C, of course, is one that's we're concerned about. Actually, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little bit concerned. The problem is that I like the idea.
Me too.
I think it's a great idea. And be a benefit. But we also don't want floor sinkholes on the west side of the property. I know the engineering hasn't been done, but have you done any or had any thoughts on, you know, you're going to hook up, you're going to have underground storm going to that retention pond? Is that how you plan to do it? You're going to have storm drains throughout the property on the impervious surface? Is it going to be surface drainage?
Both. When speaking with the engineering staff, we did a stormwater pond right there, and then potentially having oversized catch basins or perhaps bio filters, but that looks like it's probably sized out over on the east side, but their options are exploring.
Where does it go if it exceeds your retention pond? Where'd the water go? The water go to the north? I guess, Craig, maybe you're the person to answer that question. Would it go to the north behind the owner property there?
It will have to go into our storm sewer system, which is at easement all the way through.
Yeah.
That's where our storm sewer is.
That's where the storm is, too?
Yeah.
So the storm is in the sanitary easement?
Yeah.
It's a wide easement.
Yeah, 30 foot. I figured it wasn't a 30 foot sanitary pipe. So it'd have to go back from that retention pond into the storm sewer, and would it be gravity fed down to the other pond?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it would work. You don't think it would just spill over into the west? I guess without an engineering plan, it's just hard to speculate.
Right.
If there was a bunch of water, I just don't, and without a grading plan, because we wouldn't know if you're going to have a significant grade from the proposed retention pond back to the east, if that's going to be substantial slope, I just don't see that water going back up into the storm, into the village storm, and then north. Unless you...
Right, so the engineers have taken their look at this. They haven't spent the time and effort to go ahead and put the full-scale resources into it. They looked into it as far as what is here. They felt comfortable. No, it's going to be a challenge. They acknowledge that. This is a challenging site. But they did feel comfortable with being able to go ahead and handle the stormwater needs of the site.
Do you have a great, or do you have a topography of the site from either the county website or...
Might be able to pull one up real quick.
Yeah, I understand, but I'd just be interested to know what the grade is going from Riverside down to, I guess, that western edge of that property. I mean, it's not such that you'd have to have switchbacks on a trail to go from Riverside to the trail, is it?
No.
I don't know.
No,
you wouldn't have to?
No.
That's the grading for the site. You can see at the road here. There's 601 benchmark there. And here at the drainage, the low of the drainage, it's 580, 582, 4, 6, so the back here is, that's 586 right there.
So the water would have to go up 6 feet to reach the village's storm sewer.
Yeah, right.
That just doesn't seem natural.
And this is based off satellite imagery, so it can be off.
What's the tolerance, you know?
Do they?
I don't know. It's probably not off a whole lot to be terribly significant, but
it's not off a whole lot when it comes to the GIS website compared to what it is out there. Just go ahead and reinstate it as far as what they've built as far as fill and how the site will have to go ahead and be graded. Engineers felt comfortable that this can go ahead and happen. This will happen in subject for reporting of stormwater to be taken care of on the property itself. And we're looking to go ahead and place a pond. They felt the west side was okay.
Did they go as far as, and is this your firm that's doing the engineering?
Yes.
Did you go as far as figure out what type of fill you would use there or if you'd have to drive any piers down?
No, not yet. No.
You haven't
not
gone that far?
No.
So you haven't done cores or anything?
No.
What's our, so let's say, yeah, we think residential development or some iteration of residential development is okay for that parcel, maybe not the plan that's in front of us. Do we have to approve a conditional use based on the plan that's in front of us? And if we did approve the conditional use with the plan that's in front of us, that would go to the village board, and would that be it? Or do we approve the conditional use, or if we would approve a conditional use, and then have the developers go back and bring back some sort of engineering plan or some more information on the drainage, and then make a decision based on the site plan? Or do we not have that ability in the conditional use process since it's zoned appropriately?
You could go about it a number of different ways. You could approve it on conditions being met and probably being addressed in the second review process, which would be next month. You could table until you have additional information and then make the determination at that time. You could.
We want to be fair to the petitioners.
Right.
Because, I understand the costs. With studying the site and full engineering on the site, and then to come back to us and possibly, not getting approved. So I just want to be fair, and I guess maybe looking for a little brevity. And if you're not going to be able to have the 36 units, will it be feasible? Will the project be feasible? That's kind of a question for you.
Right. 36 is what the goal is right here, just to go ahead and make this work. We were looking at a lot of different options here to go ahead and see what could work as far as different numbers and units and layout on the site, and 36 was a pretty magic number that was coming out.
So here's where we're at. I'm not speaking for the entire Plan Commission, but here's where I'm at. Is 36 is a heavy number. We don't know what we don't know. We don't want to force a full engineering study without some sort of preliminary approval. So we could table it, and you come back with, something different, because I don't feel that I'd be able to approve a 36-unit development with the information that we have here and the concerns that we have. But I'm not saying it's impossible. We just don't know what we don't know. So that's where I'm at. So anybody else have any comments on that or feel differently?
I agree. I think we just don't have enough information to really. There's too many questions about the parking, guest parking. What about snow?
I agree also that we, the way you said it, we don't know what we don't know, and there are too many unknowns to say, let's trust that it'll be okay. Not our job to, to say that. Our job is to make sure we're making the best decision, and I don't think we know enough. And I think there's too many units, and you just mentioned snow removal. Okay, well, you're going to have it. And I'm still concerned about the positive impact of having access to the Fox River Trail, given all the constraints that are going to be placed on access to it. And now that there's a bona fide trail through this property, people are going to be still wanting to park on the adjacent properties to get to it and trespass. And all these things we don't know about yet. And so I'm not favor of the plan as we see it today because of lack of more information, I guess.
As far as snow removal on the site, I'll reiterate, it's 44% impervious surface on the site. So it's 56% of a green space surface. So as you're looking in different gaps to go ahead and place the snow, we felt there would be areas that would go ahead and be adequate to go ahead and pile the snow near the ends of parking areas.
So you do that, and you're taking away parking spaces.
No, at the ends, say where we have the turnarounds happening at the south, at the easternmost units,
okay,
where we have some spaces. No, definitely, I get, every last parking space will go ahead and be used on the site. And when it comes to parking, as far as visitor parking for the public, we felt this was one of the things that we'd want to go ahead and provide to the village, that this would be a positive thing for the village to go ahead and allow those spaces to happen. If the board is not feeling like that's
No, we want something like that.
Okay.
It's just our concern is that it won't work as presented. I mean, yeah, sure, open the whole thing up to public parking, that'd be great, but we're just being candid with you. So, and I just struggle with the 46% is going to be impervious when right now 100% is basically pervious on that site. You know, that site is green right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking half the site and you're paving it or putting a rooftop on it.
Right, 44%, with the code being 50.
And I understand that. And you're
so we're trying to go ahead and say quite a bit underneath the 50.
You're complying.
Yeah.
I totally understand.
You know, I'm in favor of the owner getting as many apartments on that site as feasible, because I think we need to increase the density and have some high density in Alloway. I think it's a good use for the site. I do think that the next door property's owner's concern should be taken into effect, that really there's not a lot of parking on that site, and people are going to be, you know, if you have three friends over and they each bring a car, and there's 36 apartments, those nine spaces are going to fill up fast, depending on what it is. And they don't have, the side streets are fairly far away to try to get on-street parking anywhere near that. There really isn't any on-street public parking. But I think that it's up to people, the engineers, to figure out where the water's going to go. That's not, and I don't think they're going to put the money into it if they think the buildings are going to get flooded. I couldn't imagine that they would, or that any bank would lend them the money to do that. So I don't know to say what do we want them to bring back. If we want to spend money on the site, and they say they can put all those buildings on it, then we'd say you can't do that. I'm not sure.
I guess just to reiterate that my concern is still just too much water on the site. I mean, they're not going to let the buildings flood, but Fox River Trail is fair game, and that's a great asset. And I would hate to have Alloway be the cause of issues with Fox River Trail for, you know, Brown County or the rest of it.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with Becky either. It's just that with what we're looking at and where this heads after this, if we were to approve it and looking at the standards for a conditional use, I think we have to take, with the information that we have here, somehow extrapolate if there's going to be a problem. And I don't know. Maybe that's enough for it not to meet the standard because I don't know.
Right, I'll just... To reiterate, our engineering staff, as most development companies are, just we're busy right now. And so the site plan, as far as getting the engineering to work, we'd like to go ahead and have in the next month or two to have a full plan. They will have to go ahead and make this to where it works. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The water has to be accounted for on every project that we do. So best practices would be in mind, and it would be accounted for to go ahead and make this happen. And that's where we're at with them.
Yeah, if Mr. Baskin can come up to the front here. You know, just a few things that we've noted. One, I agreed that you wouldn't build if all the buildings were going to be flooded. The second thing is our concern about parking for people if they're coming and they have friends over or what have you. So that's another part of the site. Maybe we're looking at too much density because of the parking. That's one concern that I heard. Another is the trail access. I think that that maybe can be solved with a fence for the property to the north to avoid the loitering and whatnot. And then hopefully that draws property or people from the property to the south that if they're going unauthorized on the Willowbrook property, if there was a real access point like on that on your piece. So, what are your thoughts?
Well, we could potentially, you know, get a few more parking spaces if we needed to. I mean, that's absolutely no problem. As you said, and everybody agrees, we're not going to start a project unless the full engineering is completed and done and everybody's satisfied with it. The 36 units, you know, that's... This is a big project, and that's an expensive piece of property, and that may prevent us from doing something like this. It's a great piece of property for a situation like this. We want to work with our neighbors to the north and south. Marilyn was saying that, you know, they got dead trees, and it just looks junky. Well, these are going to be luxury apartments. We don't want them to look junky. They're going to look nice. They will appreciate the way they look. We can, you know, we've already discussed a privacy fence for the north property. We can do that, you know. So we want to help. We want to help get along with our neighbors. We want to work with, you know, Halloway and the village. I think would benefit from this piece of property, this development. Any other questions?
I would think even just, and this is me pushing things, just like moving the one building down and putting more parking spaces out to where the cell tower is, just adding, you know, 9 more, you know, in that area, just because I really think with no possibility of guest parking anywhere within a quarter mile of the site, you have to pretty much account for all the guests there because otherwise they are going to be spilling in into your neighbors. Property, and I don't know what the standards are for how much parking you have to have for an apartment building, but there's no street street parking anywhere near there.
Right. Well, with the privacy fence, they wouldn't spill into this property, and this is an ESA area or an area that you can't drive through. You can't even walk through there. I think Marilyn said that you were cutting a little section there. Well, we wouldn't be cutting that section there anymore. And as far as the building, you know, are they exactly going to be there to maybe pick up some more parking? That's probably not exact, but you know the studies haven't been done as far as the engineering, and that really helps us determine exactly where things are going. I kind of look at zoning and planning as more of a conceptual agreement with us. I did want to address Mr. Opp's concern about people using this property for the Fox River Trail. You probably have. Do you have that problem now? Can I ask a question? You have that problem right now.
Okay.
So if having that fence there and parking, you kind of designate a certain area for people to utilize and use. So, you know, if there's signs up here, no trail parking or whatever, and we have a trail parking sign, you know, that's kind of something that'll help guide people. Again, I think, Ms. Nyberg, you mentioned people have cars that can drive down to the pier. Well, perhaps they would if all those are filled up with people utilizing the, you know, utilizing the trail. I think this is a great asset for the village. Any other questions?
You're right on the plan concept, and I don't think any of us have an issue with the concept of residential type development in that area. Mm-hmm. Just some of the standards that we do have to review in order to approve a conditional use, and one of them is drainage.
Right.
You know, so. Right. That's why we're talking about it. and also with parking. So that's why we're talking about it. It's not just following standard. Okay, we should probably return to regular session so we can talk. But do I have a motion to return to regular session?
Moved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, we are back in regular session. So it was a really good conversation. Again, you know, the concept, I didn't hear anybody saying we didn't want residential development on that piece of property, but there are concerns about drainage and parking. Does anybody have any comments that maybe haven't been brought up or have any additional thoughts on it?
The only one about, I agree with the way you characterized where we are. We talked about a sidewalk and the possibility of having a sidewalk.
Yeah, Trevor, I got a question for you, though. Sure. Based on the submission that we got, how do we evaluate the standard? You got bugs around me or something. Fruit flies. How do you evaluate some of the standards with what we have in front of us? Because there's not an engineering plan. How do we make how do we know that there's not going to be a drainage issue?
It's, you know, I hate to always blame the zoning code. But really, page of conditional use policies is not a lot and not adequate. But it's, again, our zoning code is old. Our site plan review and our PDD processes are newer additions, and they spell out what exactly is required for the plan commission to review. And so engineering documents or that sort of thing, what's required. This is kind of whatever we can get that is going to, you know, attempt to make a, you know, if you know what I'm getting at, we don't have set requirements as far as, so to answer your question, you know, maybe you don't have enough information and you'd like to ask for additional information.
Yeah, I'm just curious as to whether or not we have to put some sort of more formal framework around submittals for conditional uses in order for us to be able to make an educated vote. Mm-hmm. You know, really, because we're talking about standards that from a drawing that, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the drawing, but I could do it, and I'm a layman, and it's just,
sure.
Feel stuck.
There are two comments that I would like, or one comment I would like to make, and then I believe Craig wants to make a comment on stormwater. There is discussion of having the developer, and I don't know if this was really thought about clearly, but I guess technically we can't make them do it, but I wouldn't like the idea of suggesting it either, only because what you're doing is you don't have sidewalks on this property or any property to the north, and you don't have sidewalks on Willowbrook. And this was the same concern we had for the Old Chapel Hill property. You're almost creating a more unsafe condition because you have people feeling like they are safe, and then they're crossing the road at unpredictable locations. And so I would almost rather wait to have a sidewalk there until you're going to have it on the entire stretch of the road. And that was kind of our rationale, I think, with the Old Chapel Hill as well. We really have that S-curve that people would potentially be crossing there at unsafe location. So that's my comment there. And then I'll let Craig address some stormwater comments.
First of all, I want to second what Trevor just said about the sidewalk. I don't think that it's in our best interest right now to require a sidewalk on Riverside Drive for those reasons. Also, it's a complex issue as far as construction and very costly. It's a better fit when the project moves forward on Riverside Drive. Now, will it move forward in 2021 and 2022? I believe so. We are planning on that. There's pre-work we have to do. Will it get delayed? It could be, but it'll only be a short time period. It's not going to be 10 years from now. So I think we're better off letting that fall into place as it normally would, because it's a significant cost, whether it's the developer or the village, we're all going to incur cost in that project. As it relates to the drainage, stormwater management, we have some very strict and detailed ordinances on managing stormwater on sites, which is basically the same requirements that the state has for managing stormwater. One of the key things is the stormwater runoff from the site has to be managed on the site. It can't drain off the site. And then there's two requirements. One is the discharge from the site in a developed condition has to be no more than the discharge from the site in the original meadow condition, which means you have to equalize the flow. You have to detain the flow and equalize it. And so at some point, somewhere on this site, in one or more places, there will have to be detention so that that flow is managed to the original condition. The second thing is there will have to be treatment. And the treatment can be a combination of things, but what we're faced with on the Fox River is the Fox River Total Mass Daily Load, or TMDL, which is a very strict requirement. It's probably the most strict treatment requirement in the state. Either on site they will have to provide treatment to meet the TMDL, or in combination with our treatment pond, which is downstream, and that would be the most logical thing to do, is a combination of treatment that they provide on site and treatment that we provide. They will have to purchase that capacity in the stormwater pond for the system that they would need to treat. So, and that's what we commonly do. We sell capacity in our treatment system to meet their needs. But I guess the main point is there are some very stringent standards that have to be met. And we do adhere to that. If there is a deviation from it, it's very small. So I think you can be pretty comfortable that from a stormwater management standpoint, from a runoff standpoint, whatever this turns out to look like will accomplish those requirements. It's really kind of out of our hands. The Department of Natural Resources requires very, very stringent management of stormwater runoff. So, I think I'm pretty comfortable. Now, will they be able to accomplish those goals? And that's really the question. And that is a complex issue to address. That's one of the more costly parts of the site engineering, is the stormwater examination coming up with that plan. So, but it would get properly addressed.
So if we give the approval for them to move forward, then they would also have to meet those standards,
yes,
no matter how big or small they decided to make them.
It's not only the stormwater standards, it's the utilities, the sanitary sewer, the water, the road design. All of those things have to be approved by the village before that site plan is approved and before they have a building permit. So you still have site plan approval, which will include those details, and then stormwater management has to be approved before a building permit is issued for the first building. So there are multiple steps in there to make sure that we have a good project.
Well, okay. It's been a good discussion. I guess really the risk falls on the developer if we approve or if we don't approve. If we approve, the risk is still on the developer to do the engineering and come up with a way to fit enough units on there to be feasible. And if it can't work, I guess you'll probably find out from your engineers whether or not it can or cannot. Not from us. Does anybody else have any other feelings? Or
I guess I
kind
of feel the way you do, too, after it takes a while to get around to the position that I think I really should be in. It's true we don't have enough information to answer all these questions, but our job right here is not to answer all those questions, but to see if it's worth pursuing further, knowing that those questions are going to be answered. And I agree, it's there's nothing wrong with the concept of having apartments there. And so, based on everything that you all have said, I guess I'm okay with recommending approval at this level.
Is that a motion?
It could be. Let's make it a motion.
Okay. There's a motion for approval. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Unless do you want to, or I'm sorry, Howard, do you want to have specific conditions on that?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
You can speak.
I don't think so. I mean,
sounds like all of our conditions that we were talking about have yet to be discovered.
Yeah. There's a framework in place to answer all those conditions that we might put forward, you know, and we don't need to specify that because the engineering folks are going to take care of that.
They're not going to take care of the parking, Howard.
And, well.
That was going to be my comment.
Yeah, okay.
Zoning requires 2 parking spaces per unit, so this satisfies those requirements. So, I mean, I guess
it's within.
It's satisfied.
Yeah.
Right.
So, if we're looking at standards and we see C, we have to say it is satisfied because they meet the zoning requirements.
Well, that's up to your consideration. Your discussion, because there was the discussion that typically other apartment projects will have on-street parking that is overflow. So if you feel like that, if the needs aren't met, then you could make a condition for additional parking if desired. I don't know if you want to assign to it a number, because the site's pretty small, but the developer could find, you know, a few extra spots, or maybe they could do 9x18s again to accommodate for those, pick up a few spots, or I don't know. But
Trevor, is the parking and the zoning still met, even if you consider that some of the sites should be set aside for access to the trail? Or is it only, you know, it seems like as though it's not. It's designed for those, what meets the zoning without there being any parking for the trail.
With these 3 surface in the garages, it would meet the requirements.
But not any additional for the trail access?
These would be additional.
That's the, okay.
Yeah.
You just need 2 per unit.
Correct. It says minimum 1 one covered. So they have 2, they're providing 2 covered spots.
I still think we should encourage more than 9 spaces, but I'm not sure about putting a number on it to say like 15 or 18 to put, because I think that with no on-street parking available and then available, that there's going to be a bigger need there.
Becky, can you make a substitute motion?
Well, we can have Howard amend his motion.
Well, I can amend the motion to consider more parking spaces.
To encourage?
Encourage.
To encourage.
Encourage.
And to encourage
additional parking spaces because of the fact that it's a densely constructed site and there's no on-street parking.
And fencing.
And the fencing along the property line to the north.
Okay. There is a motion. Is there a second?
Still second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
Qualtrics Agents, yep. Motion carries. It's been approved. So it'll go to the village board on same October again.
The conditional use will go to the board on October 3rd. You'll likely, depending on if the developer has documents ready, September 25th, or next plan commission meeting, would review the site plan review.
September 25th. But it won't come back to the plan commission at all?
Not the conditional use, no, just the
site plan. Okay. Item number 9, discussion Webster Avenue streetscape plan presentation.
We're going to give you a short overview of the concept and the activities that we have underway looking at improvements to Webster Avenue from Alloway Avenue up to Kolb Street. By way of history, when you did the corridor study on Riverside Drive and looked at development opportunities and things of that sort, when that was completed, we looked at how could we extend that into the downtown area or the proposed downtown area of Alloway, which is the North Webster Avenue corridor, and look at what could be done in that area to enhance the look of the area and make it more appealing for businesses and business development. And also, when the tax increment finance district was developed, in that plan to prepare that and implement that tax increment district, we included in that improvements on St. Joseph Street, Webster Avenue, and other streets in the area, and other improvements as part of what would be done in that area to enhance the tax increment district. So this, what we're doing now is the offshoot of that original couple of development items. And what we're doing at this point is looking at the concept of what it could look like and the concept of how it would be improved as far as the roadway and the commercial corridor, and looking at the cost and how feasible is it to put in place either part or all of this potential project. What you see up here is an aerial view of the concept. In the upper left over there is Alloway Avenue. The dark lines there on the corners and the street crossings is an enhanced pattern that would be constructed in the roadway and on the intersection corners for a pedestrian crossing. And the idea that we're looking at is to replicate what's planned for Riverside Drive. So when you come into Alloway, it's sort of a brown and light tan type architecture as far as sidewalks, terraces, and things of that sort. We would duplicate that here so that if you're on Riverside Drive or Webster Avenue, you know you're in Alloway because the color scheme is the same throughout those areas. And it's different than the other communities. When you drive about and you look like downtown De Pere or downtown Green Bay, you're going to see red paving stones. It looks very nice, but we had decided on Riverside to do something different that we thought was a little more subtle and better looking, but also different from everybody else. And so that's the concept here. Now, the circles are trees. You can see the medians on the road. One of the things that we're doing is, as we go to the right here heading north, one of the things that we're doing is we're taking the medians and we're looking at making the medians a little narrower, making them a little more attractive. But on the southern end, we preserve a lot of the median that's there. We just make it a little narrower. The cemetery on the west side there, with what we're looking at now, we won't be going into that property. Obviously, that's a big undertaking. And there's enough opportunities on this corridor for business development that if you ever do want to look at doing something in this area on the west side, that's for the future. Can you do something? Yes. It's just a long, complicated process. But what we're doing is we're narrowing up the road in this section to an 86-foot right-of-way so it'll fit within that footprint. As we continue to the east, here's the Webster School here. Now we go to an a 92-foot corridor. So we're adding 6 feet on each side to the existing right-of-way so that we have room for a 6-foot terrace and a 6-foot sidewalk. The terrace would have some tree plantings. It also would have landscaping. It would have shrubs. These would be all in, I'll call them boxes, but they're small areas set aside with a concrete pattern around it to retain the soil in it. To make it look nice, it gives pedestrians a place to walk back and forth. There would be bike lanes. Now we come up to St. Joseph here. Again, you can see the pattern for the crosswalks. Right now, you're talking about St. Joseph and the lack of sidewalk. Well, if you go east on St. Joseph, so that would be this section down here from Libel going east, well, that Arboretum Trail will be constructed yet this fall on that segment. We're reconstructing that street and making a sidewalk. Now, that's going to be a 6-foot wide sidewalk, and there's a number of reasons why we picked that. One being the balance of the sidewalk between Webster and Libel, that section is 5 foot. So we didn't want to have a 10-foot trail going to a 6-foot trail. And we figured that it's primarily going to be walking anyway because there's bike lanes planned for St. Joseph for the whole length. So the section going to the west, if we do this project on Webster, that section going to the west there on St. Joseph is part of the project. That is in our capital improvement plan. When we do that, we will be constructing the rest of the Arboretum Trail. So that's how it kind of fits in with that. Now, you know, that's probably 2 years out for construction, assuming that this all goes forward. But at any rate, that's how it interfaces with St. Joseph. And that 6-foot property acquisition on both sides of the roadway doesn't seem to create any real conflicts with any of the businesses or stores or so forth on that route. It looks like it's going to be feasible to do that. And then when you have places like the brewery, what we anticipated is with existing stores, we have a 6-foot terrace, a 6-foot sidewalk. You can extend the sidewalk to the business, and you might have a wider terrace or a wider sidewalk right in that spot. So that's part of the design, to figure out how to do that. We do have some traffic concerns. There's a number of businesses where you can't make a turn from either the southbound or the northbound lane across the traffic to get to a business. You can only turn right or you can only turn left in some places. That's one of the things that we'll look at in the design phase. And we're going to be looking at some of the medians being raised in part of it and then striped in the other part. So that gives you more flexibility to cross. The trade-off is this is a high volume traffic roadway, so it's going to be driven by the design standards of what you can do with the high traffic volume. But that's design. We're showing concepts in here for the medians. Right now what we're trying to do is come up with the basic concept of what it looks like. Is it feasible? What's the roadway width that we need? What is it going to cost? What can we afford to do? Can we afford to do the entire project? Can we afford to do half of the project and phase it? Our target is that by the end of the year, the village board can make a decision on what this is going to look like and what we're going to do, and then hopefully next year go ahead with the design phase of the project, and then after that would be property acquisition, and then after that would be construction. So this gives us, that's kind of a view of what we're looking at. You can certainly look at this, input to it. We're going to be discussing this in a number of meetings as we go forward, and you know, give us your thoughts on the concept and things that you might be concerned about. This is the right-of-way itself, the cross-section. There's bike lanes, 5-foot bike lanes in this area. Now, Webster itself, the entire length, may not have bike lanes. dedicated bike lanes. But the reason that we have them here is because we've got Alloway Avenue, St. Joseph, and Cull. All those streets are bike routes. And sidewalks exist in significant areas on those streets. So what we wanted to do is that you would be able to come up Alloway Avenue, turn onto the downtown, go down the street, turn onto another street, and continue across to the other side of the village. So it's kind of an H pattern, so you can get through the village center to the village center and get to the outskirts by going through that route. It also is a significant benefit that would be striped and patterned with a bike route on it or bike lanes on it. That slows traffic down. So you have the medium with landscaping, you have the terraces with landscaping, you have the dedicated bike lines or bike lanes, and you will see the striping. Those things slow the traffic down, and that's one of our objectives, is to bring the speed down. It's an 8-foot median on the southern half. On the northern half, it's probably going to be a 4-foot median because that best fits providing access to the businesses. As far as, why don't you put up one or two of the pictures of the cross-section, and then while you're doing it, I'll just comment on the cross. The streetscape, you know, the pictures you have for the. From a cross standpoint, the TIF district will fund a significant part of the cost. Brown County Highway Department is now budgeted for upgrade of Webster Avenue. And when they upgrade, when they contribute funds, we have to contribute funds to match their funds for the upgrade. And we may also have to borrow through a bond issue for some of the cost. But right at this point, while we have preliminary costs that we're using the TIF district plan, that's our next step, is to evaluate the cost and come up with a strategy as far as how do we fund it. There's a couple of examples here that kind of illustrate what it would look like. Can we go back to the first couple that you have?
Sure.
Yeah. That's a raised box there for landscaping. It kind of shows you what example would be. And you can see the colored pavement. Now, this is an embossed brick. And I don't think we would go with that. I think we would go with the coarse brushed, because it doesn't experience the salt damage like this does. And when you plow this with a snow plow, which we do plow these with a sidewalk snow plow, it will chip the concrete. But if we use the smooth brushed, it looks the same, but we don't have to worry about the winter damage as much. And we'd be talking about street lights like this. These are the sidewalk lighting. This would include new street lighting. And you can't see the top of this light here, but this dark colored one is a street light. The other one is a sidewalk light. That is also part of the concept, so that you know you're downtown, you can see the lighting, and it's a different look. And here's another example of planting boxes and what the street and terrace and sidewalk would look like. This is a 6-foot sidewalk, so that gives you an idea of what that looks like. And there's a median. Those are just some other communities that have done a similar type of project. So where we are at is we're still working on a concept. We gave a presentation to the board. We gave a presentation to Public Works. Next month, the second board meeting, tentatively, Grafe will attend, and they're going to go through this plan view a little bit more and talk about the concept of how this would be done. And then after that, it'll take us a month or two to look at the project cost and then start discussing the final scope of the project and cost, and then the board can make a decision on implementation. certainly take a look at this, and we can meet on it again after you've had a chance to look at it, however you'd like to approach it. Recognizing I've gotten a lot of comments, a lot of questions about this driveway, and what are we going to do with that curb right there, and what does this median look like at this spot. We're not to that level of detail. What we're working toward is, what does the big picture look like? How much money is going to cost us to do it, and do you want to do it? That's where we're at this point. But this is a nice opportunity. With the county allocating funds, which is coming out of that 5.5% to 0.5% sales tax, that's where the funds are coming from, to the county's portion. We have the TIF district, which generates sufficient funds to support a bond issue for this. And that's kind of the driver, because if we're going to do this, we need to do it and take advantage of having those funds available in that window of the TIF district so it can pay for that while the TIF district is active.
How many more years is that TIF active?
Yeah, 20
years. Okay, that's enough time.
Yeah. So that's the thumbnail sketch of what we're looking at.
That's good.
This is a neat opportunity. I hope we can make this all work out and happen, because this will be a real plus.
Between the brewery and then the possibility of something like this, and seeing the built environment fall in line with that plan that we did a couple of years ago, is kind of nice to see.
Yep. Something I hear from developers when I talk to them all the time is what they look for before they invest in the community is the community investing in themselves. That's one of the primary things. And to be frank, Webster as it is now is very tired, and there's other locations in the greater Green Bay area that might be more attractive to a new development. And I mean, obviously, if you're investing, you know, $1 million in the property, you don't want to go to a location that is going to stay status quo. So this is something that we hear call from developers all the time, but then this is something that was brought forward in the corridor study, as Craig mentioned as well, that it'd be nice to develop it in this fashion. So I invited Craig here because a little third-party perspective on things, and so you don't have to listen to me chat. So.
Well, thank you. Okay, great. So the next step is you're bringing this to the village board next month? Is that it?
Yeah, so September 19th, great, should be here. I believe it's the date, so you're welcome to come and hear their presentation and have a little bit more substance than what we're showing you.
Sure. Okay. Good. Any comments for Craig? Item number 10, report discussion on standing committees. One of the things that I kind of wanted to touch on based on the proposal that came in earlier from Mound Associates was, is there an update on the prison? I haven't talked to Dave Steffen in a long time. Anything going on there?
It has not made it to the joint finance for a vote at this time. That's probably the best update I can give you. Senator Goltz did sign on as an amendment. There is an amendment to the bill, and so Senator Goltz is supporting it, which is nice to see. But yeah, I just don't have anything more to add at this date. Hopefully soon, we'll know one way or another.
That'll change that area. That'll be something. Okay, great. Any standing committee updates? As far as anything that's crazy?
Really, it's been, Parks Committee didn't meet, I don't think, at all this summer. So, only because, you know, summer vacations and everything like that. So, there's really not much to report on.
Okay, great. Next meeting date and future agenda items. Next meeting date would be the last Monday in September. So, that is,
I believe, the 25th.
I guess we'll find out what we'll have for agenda items as we get closer to there. I don't think anything carried over from tonight unless anybody else has anything that they want. No? Okay. Item number 12, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn. I'm tired.
Is there a second?
Yes.
Okay, second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we are adjourned.